Foreman.
Yes.
Mr. Dalton.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yep.
Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Glasper.
Yes.
Mr. Malone.
Here.
Ms. Harris.
Yes.
And Ms. Kuhn is absent. No, I believe that would be all. I assume everybody has had a chance to look over the minutes. If there's no objection, I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Ms. Dalton, second by Ms. Foreman. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And then we do have, I know of at least two guests or two organizations in the room today. Mr. Jay Cordy is here on behalf of the Leadership Council. He's going to provide, I think, just a little bit of an update. Mm-hmm. And then also Mr. Jim Alexander, and I believe it is Kelly?
Yes.
Right. Sorry, didn't catch the last name. But they're here on behalf of the St. Louis Regional Chamber to also kind of give a little bit of an update. A lot of exciting things going on in the St. Louis regional area, obviously. So excited to have a close partnership with them still to make sure that Madison County's not lost and all the new potential transitioning. But I don't know, Jay, maybe you want to provide your little update first?
Sure.
If that's all right, then we'll get into the regular.
I brought a quick little handout that I'll go ahead and share with the committee. Again, I was here, I don't know, a month ago or so, or two meetings ago maybe for you guys for the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois. This is just a quick handout, some of the things that we've been working with. Thank you for the grant granted by Madison County. But just real quickly, some of the bullets on this thing. This is new news coming out. We have an annual dinner coming up in March, and Madison County is going to receive an award at that 2019 Salute to Southwestern Illinois annual dinner. The theme this year is investing in infrastructure. So I think Madison County is going to have a table there. So congratulations and thank you for the support on that. Last week we had a VIP welcome reception for 2 4-star generals at Scott Air Force Base, General Lyons and General Marianne Miller. That was held at St. Clair County Country Club. Very nice event last Thursday. I know there were some board members in attendance there. Again, we try to do that with some of the generals that come. Both of these have been here before and have come back. They both recently came back from the Pentagon. So we have some very high stakes players there, and we like to honor them when they come back into our communities. The bottom item on the front of the page, St. Louis Metro East Levy Alliance, that happened in the middle of December. We had a press conference. Leadership Council's St. Louis Metro East Levy Alliance, along with the United States Army Corps of Engineers, held a press conference celebrating the recent news of $95 million through the Corps of Engineers for their flood prevention in Madison and St. Clair counties and beyond, actually. Turning over to the back, building workforce, that is something that we're working with. The Scott Air Force Base also works very thoroughly with us, providing information to K through 12 school districts. And we listed some of the Madison County schools there that groups from Leadership Council and other folks have been going out to and presenting, and mostly focusing on the science and technology, engineering and math opportunities in the workforce. Some of the external marketing items that we've been working on, leadership and along with the regional chamber, from St. Louis Regional Chamber, have been making some site visits. Some recent ones: Omaha, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, Seattle, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland, being scheduled for this early this quarter, I believe, coming up. Again, those are to reach out to site selectors and developers around the nation and touting our region in this in our area. We also have a ad going into the Site Selection magazine coming up and highlighting Edwardsville and Madison County in that. Partnering with the utilities to map critical infrastructure assets for the key development. That's kind of a big deal. It's a short little sentence there, but Leadership Council is taking the lead with utilities in our area and putting all the information in one location so that site selectors and developers can all see right where gas lines are, high pressure gas lines, water lines, electric lines, high voltage lines, and all in one location. Being in the construction industry, it's always a challenge when you're meeting with an owner or contractor, say, where do you want to build? Well, where's electric? And you go to the electrical. Well, who serves this area? Find out who serves the electric in that area. Where is the nearest line? What kind of infrastructure cost do you have to bring that to your site? Similarly with gas and sewer and so forth. This is going to be an interactive map, Ameren and gas, and including down to the municipal utilities, Highland Electric and so forth, will get on there as well. Just a one place, one stop shop to be able to go to, and those site selectors to be able to go to and see if their needs can be met with the existing infrastructure. And then along just promoting good news. We send out a good news link every week or week and a half. I know some of you in this room are getting that. If you'd like to get that and you don't, let me know and we'll make sure you get signed up for our Leadership Council good news link. Multimodal priorities that we're focusing on this year, Illinois 157 and Illinois 162 intersection reconstruction, new bridge replacement project, and then Godfrey Roundabouts, Illinois 3 at Delmore. Every year we select some priorities for transportation, and we take that to IDOT and the leaders in Springfield to try to focus and get their attention to some of our projects that we see vitally important needs in this area. So again, just a real quick snapshot, we're going to try to do this every so often. Appreciate the opportunity. I know several board members have been to our monthly board meeting breakfasts, first Friday of the month. I welcome you. If you'd like to attend, reach out to me. I know Kurt has brought some. David was with me at the February board meeting. You guys are welcome to attend those and learn a little bit more about our projects that we're working on. Okay. Any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Awesome. Yeah, just quick. I had a constituent issue earlier today, so I was trying to go through the county maps, looking whose jurisdiction, township, city, what. I was calling people, so I can only imagine how hard it is for certain site selectors when you're looking at electric and gas and high pressure gas to determine who's all there. So that's neat to have one stop shop for that. So thanks for that. And then, awesome, and Mr. Alexander, yeah, the regional chamber, kind of a little update.
Yes, thanks, David. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you again, and I'll pass this out in a minute. I'd really like to start by saying thank you. We really appreciate your support, financially and otherwise. We couldn't do the things that we do without that kind of support throughout the chamber. You know, Jay mentioned the work that we do with the Leadership Council of Southwest Illinois. We do have a meeting scheduled this quarter. In fact, it's on March 6th and 7th. We're going to be in Chicago with Rhonda and some other representatives from around Southwest Illinois. To meet with Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. They have a brand new director. That director needs to know who we are and what we have to offer in Southwest Illinois. We'll meet with Intersect Illinois, that's going out globally and marketing the state. I want to make sure that they remember that there is Illinois south of I-80. And so we'll be reminding them. And then we do have a luncheon on the 7th. We've got, the invitations just went out last week. We got 6 site selectors signed up already. We hope to have at least 15 there. And these people are important. They work for some big firms like Ernst & Young or Deloitte, and some of them have small firms that are just boutiques that do site selection for all kinds of different clients globally. And we want to show them those maps that Jay was talking about. They'll be one of the first times that we display that on a screen and just show them, you know, the different Ameren, Illinois Water, other assets that are here, because that information is very powerful. You know, it helps them not only visualize what's here, but they need to know what's in the ground in terms of water, sewer, gas, electric, because their clients are generally on a very, very fast timeline, and so they don't want to wait very long to get answers, and they're certainly not going to wait for a pipe to get put into the ground. So again, your support allows us to do that. One other quick thing that was very important that we did last week. We did our Washington, D.C. fly-in. We had great meetings with Senator Duckworth, with Senator Durbin, with Congressman Boston Davis. Congressman Shimkus got called into a committee meeting, so we weren't able to meet with him. But we were there with a number of our members from around the region talking about what's important to us. It's workforce development, it's economic development. The Ex-Im Bank of the United States needs to get reauthorized. It's got Air Force Base and infrastructure. And so we carried that message to all those elected officials. And it's important to remind them that you go to Washington and on days like last week, and they're overloaded with people knocking on their doors. And for them to take the time individually to sit down with us and listen to what our region's concerns are, I think is really, really an important part of the work we do together. One last point, because I know you have a lot to talk about. We're very, very grateful. Board Chairman Prenzler was at our board meeting, our board of directors meeting on January 31st. And these are two different pieces, so maybe we can just pass those around going that way. But very important thing happened at our board meeting on the 31st. It was announced that we're creating a new organization called the Greater St. Louis Economic Development Alliance. And for the first time, it's aligning the strategies of the Chamber, of Civic Progress, and of the Regional Business Council. And Leadership Council of Southwest Illinois is part of this as well. But we've gotten the support of some of the largest business leaders in the St. Louis region to put together a brand new economic development organization that is going to be three or four steps ahead of what we've been working on for the 16 years that I've been doing economic development at the Chamber. So you can see who our board of directors are. You can see that they've worked to raise over $4 million. That can be our annual budget. They've made a three-year commitment, so we know that that budget is going to continue for that three-year period. And our job is to recruit new businesses to the region. That's going to be our number one focus. And we're going to take our existing small team at the Chamber of about five people, and over the next 12 months, we want to grow that to 15 people. We want to do very proactive marketing. We want to put more people on the street, out doing meetings like we had. I was in D.C. last week. We had one colleague in Atlanta, in Greenville, talking to site selectors and corporations last week. And we had another person in the U.K. and Amsterdam talking to food and ag companies about the St. Louis region. We can step that up, because our goal is to get more deals into the pipeline, more business attraction deals. So then we partner with Trudy and her team and Tony and all of you to bring those deals home. So this is about getting our region to grow faster than it has been previously. So there's lots of data. I think there's even a couple of points in what I gave you in the press release. But I'll close by saying, it's been recognized by many people in the community. We're not growing as fast as our peer regions. There's no reason why we should be growing slower than Nashville or Indianapolis. And our assets are much greater, our economy is much greater, our regional economy is greater than 20 states. So we need to work harder, we need to promote ourselves better, because our aim, we're putting this organization together so we can grow at a faster level than those peer regions, and we want them to be chasing us instead of the other way around. So David, thank you. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer any of them, because I know I went through that all pretty quickly, but I wanted to give you a quick update.
Thank you. Anybody got any questions?
I'll jump in with an update with the regional, Greg Laposa and his group. They're working. I think their focus is trying to get people back into school to increase their education.
Yes.
Get more college completers. I just did a big survey with all the business people in the region, and we had a conversation about some of the top line data, but the full report should be coming out within the next month or two, we thought. So
yes.
Interesting stuff. So.
Well, we appreciate your help with getting that done. Yeah, so thank you.
We've already had a meeting. It was in a meeting we were at SIU with some of the people that do some of the more innovative programs out there, and I think there's going to be some follow-ups to that as well. So
tomorrow morning, Kelly and I will be in Basalto sitting down with David Miller and talking about the opportunities that are out there around the regional airport.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's exciting with the Better Together push, I'm sure everybody's learned about. And obviously the focus is on St. Louis, but exciting to know that can greatly benefit us as well over here in Madison County. So thanks for helping be our voice there to that region.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Has everybody had a chance to look over the bills and purchase report? Assuming so, I guess I'll entertain a motion and then we can have questions. Is that all right?
So moved.
I'm moved by Ms. Glasper. Second?
You want to ask your questions first?
Can I ask my questions before I vote?
Yeah, I just always thought we're technically supposed to make the motion, but I don't really care.
You are.
Yeah. So go ahead, yeah, ask.
So I noticed there were a few items again that were labeled from different years. And I think this has come up before.
We're behind.
Like 2009? We're 10 years behind?
Right. Which department?
Well, yes. Start page one. Right there at the top, the detention home transfer grant, FY 2009. So several times throughout here, I found things like that. It just seems like, I think it's just mislabeled.
So should they be corrected?
And I was, from a personal perspective of trying to go through and, like, when we were doing budgets, sync up stuff and do due diligence, right, for kind of trying to follow the numbers on our own, it makes it impossible then. I know that's not your fault, but, right, should they be corrected?
Is Linda still here?
Surely after it's been the January meeting, but there were some things like that that were from 2016 or 17 or something. I mean, it was a while back, and I called the auditor's office, and they said, we just post them when purchasing business. And so I don't know how that works.
I would think that we'd either have it corrected or have some notes on there that refer to it, because otherwise we're all overlooking something that is incorrect.
Would anybody mind trying to go check down Linda? I know you can move on to a different item.
I'm the next item, sorry. We can go real fast and then I'll go look far. So.
Okay, how about we do that the next one, then we'll, is everybody cool waiting on that one? All right. So then next, I'd entertain a motion to approve the request from employment and training for 3 RICO MPC 5503 green line color copiers. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
So Mr. Malone, second.
Second.
Mr. Jones. And then Tony, real quick, this is just...
So I guess the old administration did a very nice job of having things last forever. But these free copiers, the toners are obsolete, so it takes purchasing forever to find them, and the toners are up to like $400 a toner, so it was time to replace these. The color part of this is misleading. We have to get the color copiers because we need scanning and faxing, so we will not be using them as color copiers, so the cost ought to be brought back pretty quickly by not buying $400 toners. So, I mean, we got them in different parts of our building because of where our people, our clients are, and everything we need to use them. So.
Do these fall within the...
Yeah, that's what we went through IT, those are the ones that they're using for everyone. So. You sit long enough, somebody else will do it.
Any further questions for Mr. Fermer?
No. Make the motion to approve.
We already have the motion second floor. About then, I will go ahead and call the roll. So Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Glasper?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
All right, passes unanimously. Fantastic. How about, if there's no objection, can we pull in the resolution authorizing environmental grants for fiscal year 2019, the resolution authorizing resource education program funding for 2019, and the resolution. Actually, let's just wait on that. We'll pull those two in. Is there any objection for that?
No.
All right. About a motion to approve them, both those items from planning and development?
So moved.
All right, moved by Ms. Gorman, second by Ms. Dalton. And then how about a quick update? You guys just want to give?
I'll do the environmental grants. We had, is everyone familiar with the grants themselves? Yes, okay. So we had 22 applicants this year, and we're requesting funding for 13 of those. None of their $15,000 grants, 20% match. Of the folks that are we're trying to award the funding to this year, none of them received funding last year, except for one, which is Village of New Douglas, and that's a three-year project that they're trying to finish up. But they're all energy efficiency, energy related, and stormwater related. So.
Great. And then, so I'm on the planning and development. I don't think anybody else is here, so that's kind of the main committee, I guess. That's kind of, as long as you apply and it's within the guidelines, you either get it this year, or if you don't, you get it next year, right?
Well, what we try to do is if there is budget left over, later on in the fiscal year, we'll go back and try to do a supplemental round of grants, and so we try to award some of those folks that applied but didn't get it on the first round. So
the criteria is just first the project, and then
make sure it's an environmental project.
Right. Yeah. And then every other year you...
Depending on the number of applicants, but yeah, we typically...
So there's not a whole lot of... politics or anything else involved in the decision.
Right. Yeah, we really go a lot we do a point system, and a lot of the points are based on, did you receive a grant last year?
Right. So, and then the education funding?
Sure. I just have a very brief overview just to remind you of what you're supporting here for the resource education program, if you don't mind passing those around for me. So I'm Eve Drucki, and I came to see you last year from Planning and Development from the Resource Education Program. So what you'll see on your fact sheet here is that we're in the middle of a very strong year. We have 42 schools that are currently enrolled. Typically, we get some latecomers, so I expect that number to grow. We're eking towards 30,000 students in Madison County who are somehow impacted by our programming. That programming has three pillars: waste reduction waste management, wise use of our land, air, and water, and then Madison County ecology. What's living and growing around here? What is it that we're in the middle of? What are we protecting? So this year we have, again, our growth continues. We have a signature original curriculum that is available to all Madison County schools that participate, and of course participation is free, and it's designed to align with national standards and state standards in order to bolster, in particular, our science and math curriculum. One of the issues that, of course, is coming up, I'm sure you're hearing with your constituents too, is concern over recycling availability. Municipal and nationwide is happening, and that's reflected in our grants. I would like to point out that of this budget that we're asking for, $65,750, half of that, $32,000, is offered back to the community in the form of grants. What you're seeing in this pie chart here is a real reflection of what I'm hearing in the community. That big green slice, the grants that people are asking for are to cover waste management, whether that's water bottle refilling stations, so you're not paying to have a bunch of empty water bottles hauled away, or recycling stations, or community awareness with the schools as our hub. So I'm terribly pleased with the sort of requests we've received this year for our green seed grants. If for some reason that pot of $32,000 is not taken up and requested this year, it actually goes to our resource management program and goes to that pot, so that in one way, shape, or form, this is going back to our community.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Like when they're getting new light bulbs and that kind of thing, is it also like the labor for the installation of all that, or?
No, it will, that depends. We don't pay for in-house labor. So if it's something that your custodian can handle, then we don't cover that. If this is something that's really specialized, like our particularly effective high volume water bottle refilling station, and it's beyond the scope of what your school custodian can do, then we'll consider that on a case-by-case basis.
Any questions? Hearing none, do a roll call vote on both the education funding and the environmental grants. Both paid out of host fee funds?
Yes.
Correct.
Right, very important, so that's tax neutral.
Tax neutral, so host fee.
Thank you.
Awesome. Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Glassberg?
Yes.
Ms. Malone?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Fantastic. And then, assuming there's no objection, since Linda's here, we'll move back to the purchase report. Can you fill us in a little bit on why it says like 2009 on that transfer right there?
Oh, I was wondering what that was. You know what, sometimes the auditor's office, they just don't update that number because the grants change so frequently. That is changed by the auditor's office. They just don't do it.
Gotcha. So it's the same grant, they just kind of carry over that.
They just roll it over, yeah.
That label every year, mm-hmm. and that date just perhaps doesn't get updated.
Correct.
But so it's still from the detention home transfer grant?
Yes.
Gotcha.
I can ask them if there's a way that they can do that yearly, but I think it's so labor intensive, they just feel like they just leave it running. But I'll let them know that there was some concern.
We can work with them.
So I assume it's reoccurring annual grants that they're just rolling over, mm-hmm. and the date doesn't get changed. Okay.
So we received that one since 2009?
Yeah, probably even before then.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other ones that
would probably answer why?
That same question.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot to community mm-hmm. development too, and also Tony's office. Employment
training, because they've done a lot of grants. But I'll ask them again and see if they've been updated this year. I don't know, maybe
they do it every couple of years, or how often. But
I'll talk to them first. That would be, we'd appreciate it just for clarity purposes. It just makes it hard to follow.
Right, sure it does. Because it's not clear. It's not FYO.
Okay, I'll follow up on that.
Thank you.
Is that all you had for me?
I think so. Anybody? I think you're free. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Linda.
Thoughts on from the committee on how to address that or handle that?
I would think we'd want to have it reflective of the grant years that we're using it from,
yeah.
if at all possible.
Well, for some reason, there's two coded to that, and one of them's mine and one of them's Tony's, which is odd, too, because we don't have the same grants, so.
Again, why it makes it very complicated.
Well, I was talking about before was the purchase order date, so from the last one, there was some that were really old.
Because technically, these funds aren't coming out of that grant. Right, they're coming out of a grant that was subsequent.
Yeah,
somebody else is paying for our stuff.
Even when I was at the state, with no budget for 2 years, but we're 9 years behind.
So. Just trying to think.
But you all have looked at your items on here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I missed that.
So I guess we can approve the purchase of these and then ask the departments to go back and double check that the funding's coming from the correct source, right? Because we're ultimately just approving the purchase, right? We're authorizing them. Right, see if Jennifer can update it. But I guess, are we comfortable authorizing the purchase of these items right now?
They've already been purchased. Right, the payment.
A year ago, there was one there.
That's true.
Quit using your stuff.
Right.
Bring it back.
Shut down all the copiers tomorrow.
We'll sit here right now. Go get it. Bring it back.
Great.
Do we have a motion?
Yeah, we already did.
Do we?
You had a motion of Gussie, and then second was by Ann.
Thank you.
Just
so, motion by Gussie, second from Ann. You two both still comfortable, right, moving forward?
Yeah, just having him to make the change.
Fantastic. Awesome. Then we'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Dalton?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Glassberg?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. Nice catch on that, Erica. Fantastic. All right, our next agenda item also comes from Planning and Development, and that is the resolution authorizing our annual funding and the memorandum of understanding with the Madison County Soil and Water Conservation District for the fiscal year 2019. And I guess, Mr. Brendel, you want to give us a heads up on that first?
Yeah, this is an annual grant that we work with the Soil and Water Conservation District here in Madison County, where they participate in programs that we have for MS4, stormwater management, our watershed plans. They provide technical assistance and help us meet some of the goals that we required to do through our programs. I know Clint's familiar with it, and so is David through P&D. And I'd entertain any questions. It's a wide range of things. There's inspections that they do for NPDES permits, and also, like I said, they provide the technical assistance required when we have watershed planning. That's about all I have. And one thing that we did, and Matt brought this up, and so did David. This year we added one item to it, the memorandum of understanding, and that is a monthly reporting back to us on hours that are spent, how they're spent, with a minimum of 1,250 hours per year as a requirement, which I have no doubt that they'll exceed that easily.
So prior to in planning and development, that was not part of it. Through just asking questions, we kind of thought it'd be good to start getting a little bit of data to track how much time do they actually spend on Madison County and on this issue, and then what is like that hourly rate come out to. Matt's fully confident, I know you are, that we get way more bang for our buck, meaning it'd be better for them to do it rather than us hire somebody, benefits and all that type of stuff. But it'd be nice for us just to know that.
And then a lot of the work that we do with them, there's things that they can accomplish through through the agricultural world that we can't as an entity with Madison County. Our hands are tied to some of those places, so they might have programs that they can assist with when there's complaints that come in. You know, I get complaints about certain things that somebody's got runoff from a field, they have corn cobs and stuff like that. So those aren't things that we can address through stormwater management, but we can work with them and the local farmer to find a way to resolve those problems. So they do supply a very good service for us.
Good, thank you. Any other questions? No? I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Jones, second by Ms. Gorman. And Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Ms. Helton?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Aye.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Ms. Glassman?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. Fantastic. And then last, as far as an actual item on new business, is we have the public meeting, I believe that Lisa's going to lead us in. Is that right?
Yeah. Awesome. Great.
Can you fill us in on that, please?
We have some material for you guys. All right. So annually we come to you as a requirement to HUD. They want us to go ahead and get an idea from our public on how you all feel we should spend our CDBG community development block grant funds and our home funds. Do you want to pass the phone over there?
Here.
So just so a quick recap. We're anticipating an allocation for our community development block grant funds of $2.9 million and home funds for about just a little under a million. A little bit under a million for home funds. Keep in mind, primary objective for these funds are to help low-moderate income people. And when we're looking at a low moderate income area, it's 51% low mod income or higher. We are kind of limited to what types of projects we can do. If you look under CDBG,
we're talking about infrastructure development or upgrades to water, sewer, streets, fire station improvement, equipment acquisition, housing rehab, and home accessibility ramps. Sometimes we are able to utilize public services. But going back to that $2.9 million, I do want to point out of that $2.9 million, an allocation comes directly off the top to go to the city of Alton, and another one goes to the city of Granite City because they are entitlement communities. So it leaves the Madison County with about $1.4 million. So when I'm talking about that, I just want you to keep that in mind.
Lisa, I have a question. To be an entitlement community, do you have to be of a certain size?
You do.
Is it 25,000?
I believe it's 50,000, but Alton and Granite were grandfathered into that, so they're under that threshold, but they're still considered entitlement communities. And they also—
Are they the only two in Madison County?
In Madison County, yes. They also have to meet that threshold, and they also have to have a certain percentage of low mod within their city as well. So they have at least 51% low mod across the city as well.
Thank you.
So those are, so then going back to home, types of projects we can fund with them are housing rehabilitation and housing development as well. So starting on page, the first page, going with the needs assessment, affordable housing implements to fair housing, or impediments, I'm sorry, to fair housing, basic needs, and community development needs. I'm looking at all of you and asking you if you, everybody in the room, if you guys have anything that stands out in your mind of where we need to serve our residents of Madison County, be it new infrastructure places, more housing for low mod people with large families, overnight daycare, third shift daycare, that type of thing. That's what I'm looking at you guys to help us provide so that we can plan for our next years and how we, our next, this coming year, and how we budget our CDBG and home funds. Anybody?
So you're just...
Anne's got something.
So you're just looking for additional ways to use the funding. Potentially.
Yes, and or ways you think we're not funded, or gaps in services or needs.
Representing the area I do, I think there should be a focus on affordable housing with the housing rehabilitation, possibly new construction.
I'm with it. To expand on, and this may not apply to you, but we're involved in the housing. One of the biggest barriers or hurdles we're seeing in areas like Granite City is, you know, they find the home, they want to purchase the home, but they can't get the financing for the down payment for the home.
Okay, so we have two different issues. Can I address his first? So first off, we have been reintegrating the housing rehabilitation for the owner-occupied, and that's actually been really taking off well in the city of Alton. But since we've really been just getting back into it over the last year or so, I think it's just now catching. So we do have that aspect, but we limit it to things like needing a new furnace, things like a new roof, plumbing, electrical, or aging in place. We're not just going out there to remodel the home because it's dated. So that's one thing that we're addressing with that. With what you had just said about down payment assistance, we do also operate a down payment assistance program that is up to $5,000 for closing costs. So that is there, and we have information about it on our website. And then the other thing, if your constituents are wondering about that, if they talk to a local lender, I know we have a lot with our local banks. I don't know a lot about the Rocket Mortgage and all that, but if they're doing a local lender, they should have information about that as well. So, any other questions? Or these are good comments, but you know, a lot of it is we're just trying to get the word out And so we're using a whole lot of platforms. So if you guys hear it with your constituents, you can tell us to, them to come to us. Incidentally, with both of the items you're talking about, I'm sorry, Clint, if I'm touching your face with papers, they are both higher income limits. Low mod for those programs are 80% of area median income. So that's a pretty good amount of income that you can receive and still get help from us. So we also have our LIHEAP program that sometimes can help with furnaces, but that's a poverty level income limit. So while for the rehab program, we are putting a 5-year forgivable mortgage for actually both of these programs on their home, if they live there for 5 years, it's going to convert into a grant. So
we have a significant amount of rental property in all. And our mayor, even though he is a property owner, will tell you we have too much rental. And I think his administration is trying to push back in a different direction.
And this assistance for both, well, obviously the down payment is for a home buyer, but the rehab we're talking about is for owner occupied. One of the screening questions is, not only do you own it, but do you live where you want us to rehab? So if they don't, then, or if it's contract for deed, we also wouldn't be spending our funds for rehab there.
Same problem we have in Grant City.
Any other ideas of need?
Lisa, I've noticed in my communities of Dennis and Madison, we've had a lot of demolitions going on.
You have. Yes.
And so I'm sure this contributed to community development in some kind of way in helping us.
In Venice, more so than Madison. Right. Madison doesn't take our funds for the demolitions.
Because they do their own.
They do their own, yes. But it is, and the demolitions for blighted property, they do all a lot in Alton as well, and Granite. Mm-hmm. But
we have a lot
that
of
is,
empty lots from demolition. Right.
That is something that is available community or countywide through our office. Mm-hmm. But I don't if there are blighted, and I know in Venice it happens a lot with the burnout. There's not always enough insurance. If there is insurance to do that, so that goes hand in hand a lot with the Venice constituents. Any other questions or comments?
Did our homeless count go up? Do we know?
Point in time count, we don't have the exact numbers yet. There's still getting those surveys in. But actually, we think it's lower, but because of the day
so
we did
cold.
It was the really, really cold.
Yeah,
cold.
I thought generically speaking, there was an article in the paper that, and I think Dave said he thought that the count would be lower because of the weather.
Yeah, we kind of expected that because people will find a place, you know, to get in out of the weather. Their relatives may be more sympathetic, things like that. So we expect to feel a little bit like that.
Any other thoughts, comments, questions? Okay, so I know some of you guys are dying to make a comment, but you're shy. So if you would like to make a comment or think of something, I do have my email address on here, and our comment period is open through March 29th. So if something wakes you up in the middle of the night, and I know it does for email all the time, just go ahead and let me know.
Thank you.
Because HUD does require that we collect comments, have public meetings.
March 29th.
That we collect comments and that we include them as a comment in our plan that we do submit to HUD. So I thank you all for listening to me today. And
that was a great public meeting.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
The meeting dates are on there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, that's right.
Plan that out.
Yeah, they're on
there. That was a new last minute addition as of this morning. So I did give you my meetings, our public meeting schedule. Come out tonight to Williamson.
Where is Williamson, Illinois?
It is just north of Livingston, almost to Salton.
Yeah.
So just barely a mess.
You can't get there from here.
Yeah. Awesome. And then appointment and training update.
So a couple things going on. An update on our takeover of Jersey and Calhoun counties last week. We met with the four county board chairs, went through the documents that they're going to need to sign at the state level to make this happen. So Calhoun County took his back and got approved at his board last week. Jersey County's meeting is tomorrow night, so we're anticipating moving forward on all the documents that we need. We put together an intergovernmental agreement to meet some of the needs that they had as far as keeping the office in Jerseyville and the staff there. So everything is good for them to go. Then it becomes more backlog. May have to do some other things that the state wants as far as how we're going to deliver services and all that. So, but it's well on track. Our deadline for all these things were May 1st, so we're a little bit ahead of the game. So. The soft skills video that we're going to DC to premiere is in editing now. Hopefully March 11th, I'll have a copy to show all of you, sort of as a preview. Pretty excited about the people that we have in it, and based on all the conversations we've had with employers, the need for this video, and just the whole idea of soft skills, and we're hoping to distribute it far and wide when we get it. So we've already talked with the Regional Office of Education to get it out to all the schools. We've talked to several businesses to get it out with them. The chambers, we had a meeting the other week with the six Madison County Chamber directors to explain our programs a little bit more to them, to work with them and talk to them about getting it out into their network as well. So this is coming soon, and hopefully we'll get it out far and wide. So a couple new things that are going on. Lewis and Clark were involved with the Youth Pathways program. They've got some extra money left they have to spend, so they're bucking up $4,000 for us to do a series of podcasts. So something new for us, a new medium we're looking into. So we have a meeting tomorrow with the company that's doing it to get a better idea of what we're doing. It needs to be tied to out-of-school youth because that's what the grant is for. But from what I understand, it's pretty broad of what we can do. One of the things we may do is shoot that soft skills video as one of the podcasts as well. So also another new partner, Legal Aid, Land of Lincoln Legal Aid, is going to have a staff person in our office twice a month on Wednesday starting November 20th, working with individuals with criminal records, either to expunge the records or possibly get them sealed to make them employable. So that's going on. So if you know of anybody in that situation, first day they're there is February 20th, and then it'll be every other Wednesday after that. So. The $400,000 that we got in the region for the apprenticeship grant, that is moving forward. Some of the programs are starting in March. We were expecting a big announcement from the state about who they'd given it to statewide, but with the change of administration, that's sort of been pushed back, but it is moving forward. We were notified Friday evening of the opportunity for another grant for apprenticeship specific to youth that we're working, probably going to work with the other five areas that were awarded the navigator part, the individual who's trying to set up more apprenticeships. It'll be probably 35,000 to 40,000 for us, so it'll be more of information getting out, possibly working with the high schools to try to set up some pre-apprenticeship programs and things like that. So I'm going to ask you what I asked my staff. We've started a new term that I'm using is always on. It's just amazing to me the number of people that I've run into out in public when you start talking about what you do that know somebody or as a family member that's looking for a job or needs skills or whatever. So if you hear of anyone, send them our way. I mean, we want to see everybody and anybody because that's what we're there for. I tell people, you know, they think of us as we all have funding, but we have a whole lot of partners that we work with that have programs available that are not income-based that we can refer people to. So we may not be able to give them money, but we can get them to the right direction, so.
It's kind of interesting. I'm teaching at Kaskaskia College in Centralia, and then I have students who, I guess, have some of this funding in other counties. So I have to send a report, a monthly report
I think
that says,
probably down to 24.
Yeah, it says they're participating right. And actually coming to class, so it's just kind of interesting that I am now on the grants committee and I'm learning about the Wild Grant. So that's great. Thank you. Awesome. And Trudy, the MCCD update?
I gave each a folder, so it's got lots of hands and notes in it. There's a couple new members, and so I wanted to educate them as we go along. But the front page is a tidbit from each of our coordinators, but a couple items in blue I'll point out to you. The SLARCH, the St. Louis Area Regional Council on Homelessness, which is co-led by Dave Harrison from my department,
And they have set as their primary goal for 2019 ending veteran homelessness by Veterans Day this year. And so because of the network and the resources in the St. Louis region, I think that's very doable. They're going to hold an announcement and a follow-up. When they announce that at, on February 18th at 10 a.m. at Soldiers Memorial, and our elected officials are encouraged to attend. So if any of you would like to attend and be a part of that, you would be more than welcome. And Dave can answer any questions about that if you have them. I put his number there. A little further down, North Point Development, hopefully you've seen the press releases on that in Pontoon Beach, so that's a big deal, and we're very excited about that. We've worked alongside Pontoon Beach, I think since the beginning of this, it started having meetings, and our team and Tony took a trip to Kansas in March. I don't know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But met with North Point there, saw one of their facilities out there called Cold Point, which was really cool and fascinating. Cool, literally cool, but a great big giant freezer. So we're looking forward to them coming here. They are a great developer in this area and across the country, and so we expect them to bring quite a bit to this area, and we've got a lot of work to do because they've projected up to 4,000 more jobs out that way. So
is it, we're sort of circling back with Lewis and Clark on February 26th about the possibility of a training center in that area. So we've had discussions before. Now that there's a request for capital projects at the state level, we're hoping that they will put that in one of their requests for a capital project. So we're meeting with Dr. Chapman and some of his staff on the 26th.
And then the last thing on the back page, we are working with SIU. We're going to host a workshop on June the 7th, which is a Friday. It's focused on economic development and elected officials' role in that. So we're still working through all of the details on that, but we do have the date settled, and you'll all receive an invitation for that in case you're interested in coming. I'll let you read the rest for yourself.
Great. Any questions for so that concludes our new business. There's no agenda item for old business, but anybody have anything I'd like to bring up? No? Okay. Hearing nothing, then I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
moved by Foster, I don't know. Second, I just don't. So good.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody. I think everybody has a
Hey, Dave.